Kids, you're dismissed to go on the kids' zone.
Thanks for the encouragement, Daniel.
Found myself quoting Daniel throughout the week when something happens. I usually say, oh, shoot. Daniel has a greater influence upon our lives than we'll ever realize. That's on sign of heaven. You know that? He does. He does. Let's just begin this morning with some time of prayer. Father, we are blessed to be here as part of the body, as part of the larger body. The truth is, Lord, we join millions and millions of our brothers and sisters around the world praising you and worshiping you. Lord, some of them have done it this morning under great duress. Some of them have done it this morning with everything they've got, not knowing if it's their last chance on this side of heaven, but looking forward to being with you no matter the timing of it. And so, Lord, this is a time together to praise you and to worship you, to hear your word, to experience you. And Lord, as this is the first day of the week, Lord, many of us will come here this morning empty, tired, looking for some living water, some fresh bread, the hot bread right out of the heaven's oven. And so, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to find you and give us a heart to seek you. Lord, all the things that are swollen on our minds and our hearts this morning, Lord, would you help us just to put them in their proper perspective? Lord, put you on the throne. Look to you this morning. Lord, speak directly to each one of us, which is a miracle in and of itself. Thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we continue a series that we began a couple weeks ago. John, you want to go ahead and put that first slide up? The series is entitled, Are You Living the Life You Were Meant to Live? I don't know where you are completely. Don't know what obstacles you are trying to overcome in your life this morning or in this season of your life. But let me assure you of a truth that you know, but so hard to live on a daily life when life hits us, and that is this. God's not finished with you. God is still doing things in and through you. And so this morning, the title of today's message is, Do You Have a Big Purpose? You've always had one, and you always will have one. The trouble with most of us is this. Living for a big purpose, or living out the purpose daily. I believe so often in our culture that we hear things like, having a goal or having a plan. I'm not against those things. What I struggle with it sometimes is, do we know how to incorporate those things that we believe God's asking us to do in the daily living, though? Tomorrow morning when you're getting up, go through your routine. Are you allowing God to remind you of, there's a purpose in the day today. There's a purpose in this afternoon. Are you allowing God to remind you of those things? And realizing that it will require more than just a, yeah, I know God's got a plan for my life. It will require an embracement on your part that at times will cost you. And this morning we're going to look at the life of Barnabas found in the book of Acts. He lived for a big purpose, but he lived it daily. And along the way of living that big purpose, there had to be some sacrifices made. I don't want the word sacrifice to scare you, nor do I want you to have any kind of trepidation or any kind of hindrance to letting God speak to you as He's going to tell you things today about your life, things He may be asking of you, trying to show you this morning. So we're going to use Barnabas and his life in the book of Acts to look at his big purpose combined with sacrifices that he may have had to make. So let's read some scriptures about good old Barnabas. The first one, a very common one, is Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Let me just pause and tell you something right now. When he did that, inherent to that sacrifice was, is it was probably a pretty good chunk of change. The island of Cyprus was kind of like a good neighborhood to live in. It would have probably been a neighborhood that you couldn't get into unless you had a gate code. It probably was the kind of neighborhood that the upper echelon kind of people would have lived in. So when it says he sold a field and put the money at the apostles' feet, it wasn't probably chump change. It wasn't, let me dig around and see what I got left over. It was, let me take something that is something worthwhile and worth an investment in me to sacrifice for someone else's good. Acts chapter 9, we pick up the story of Barnabas. When he, talking about Paul, not Barnabas, when Paul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. He just had a great conversion, but he'd been persecuting Christians all over the world. So he had no credit with the disciples. So he needed somebody else because they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. They thought he was trying to trick them. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. I always picture that scripture as Barnabas walking up with his arm around Paul saying, he's with me. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So we see Barnabas standing in the gap for Paul as the disciples weigh through, do we trust this guy that claims he's seen Jesus on the road? Yeah, right, good story. But Paul and Barnabas begin to form a close relationship. And then some more scriptures. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Had to send somebody they could trust that would do the job. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And then the last scripture in the book of Acts, very significant. We're going to talk about this one a little bit more. I'm going to bring it back up because you need to pick up something that happened in this scripture that's important. Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, two men who were leaders among the brothers. I'm going to come back in just a moment to that scripture because something significant happened so Barnabas could fulfill God's purpose in his life. So we begin this morning with this. Am I willing to make sacrifices for God's kingdom to build God's kingdom? Where you are in life, whatever season you're in, we must understand that God may be asking something of you that He desires, but most importantly, I think something that you need to ask yourself this morning, have you made yourself fully available to God? Have you made yourself available to God? We love to quote the Great Commission. We love to quote that. Jesus said, go and make disciples. But I ask you to look yourself in the mirror this morning and ask yourself this question. Do I want to go to those who I want to go to? Are you willing to go wherever God sends you? Big difference. So are you willing to make the sacrifices for God's kingdom at His discretion to build His kingdom? Think about your life recently. Whose kingdom have you been building? Whose kingdom have you been building? I told you at the beginning of those scriptures when Barnabas sold that field, it cost him something monetarily. But I would be willing to tell you this too. It cost him something of who he was because wasn't the natural way of things. So when Barnabas sold something that was of great value, there had to be a lot of questions. Barnabas, what are you doing? Barnabas, do those people really deserve what you're doing for them? Barnabas, are you sure this is what God's called you to do? Barnabas, I'm sure he was questioned, but he understood something. We get to pick up the story of Barnabas, not really knowing all that happened in his pre-Christian life, nor coming to Jesus, but we know this. It so impacted him that he saw what was not just before him, but what was down the road. He was willing to invest in a group of people he probably didn't even really know that well. But he knew that God was operating in their heart and he wanted to simply join them in that. So are you joining God in what He's doing in your life? Are you willing to make yourself available to him? You see, that first scripture I read, it talked about Barnabas means son of encouragement. Think about something for just a second. Encouragement wasn't something that Barnabas did. It was something that he was. So I would ask you this morning, if people described you tomorrow at work, what would they fill in the blank and say? Who do they see you as? Or your own family, your own neighbors? Who do they see you as being in a day-to-day life? Are you making yourself available to God today? And the second one, am I willing to sacrifice the American dream to leave a godly legacy? This is a hard question to answer honestly. Because now we live in a culture and a time that I believe more than ever says, man, do whatever makes you the happiest. I hear that all the time. Whatever makes you happy. Well, in my experience, getting to deal with people that are looking for something that makes them happy, it sure seems to me on the road of life, they've hit a lot of pitfalls and a lot of dead ends looking for what makes them happy because they left God out of the equation. Making a sacrifice for God should be a blessing. It should not be a burden. What if the sacrifice you're avoiding is what God is trying to use to set you free from something? What if God is saying, I want you to sacrifice on the altar of mine the idol that you've been having in your life? What if God is asking you to sacrifice something? What if it's looked at this morning, all these sacrifices that I'm going to list for us, instead of being an event, but a lifestyle of worship? What if you're willing to say every morning, God, I give you my life. Have your way in my life. And God, I'll be honest with you, it's difficult at times. God, it's not easy at times. God, there's a lot of setbacks. God, you got to change my heart. You got to change my attitude. You got to change my mindset. God, I just worry so easily about things that I really know I can't control. And God, I don't want to just give you Sunday school answers. God, I really want to give you your rightful place in my life. So are you willing to give up the American dream to leave a godly legacy? You may never see the fruit of your sacrifices on this side of heaven, but you're making them faith. The sacrifice that God could be asking you to make might be a catalyst event for someone else. Think about Abraham for just a second. Think about this for just a second. God told Abraham over and over, you're going to have so many children that they're going to be like the sands on the seashore. The view only happened from heaven. The view never came on this earth. It only came in God's timing in heaven. Saw a story this week about a gentleman named Abraham. Get ready to spill, Priscilla. Abraham Benninger. You know how competitive Priscilla is? We're at the Y together on two exercise bikes and she wants to race. We're not even going anywhere. We're just sitting there spinning and she wants to race. So did you get that one? Abraham Benninger? Gave you a second. He came to America on a ship with another gentleman I think you'll recognize, John Wesley. But he came as a boy because his parents died on the ship on the way over. He arrived in America as a kid. He had no family. Became a Christian in the 1700s. He found out about an island called St. Thomas. At the time, it was owned by the Danish. Today, one of our little outposts so we can go have fun on vacation and stuff like that. He heard about a group of people that was not allowed to have the gospel preached to him. It was the slaves on the island. By law, they could not be preached to the gospel of Christ. He was so compelled to preach the gospel to them that he petitioned the king of Denmark if he could be considered a slave, and he would serve as a slave for the rest of his natural life if only he had the opportunity to share the gospel with those group of people. The king of Denmark was so moved, he sent back a letter and said, regardless, you don't have to become a slave. That sacrifice that you were willing to make so moved me that I order a decree to be made on your behalf that you can preach to whoever you want to, whenever you want to, without punishment for that decision. Because you're willing to pay the ultimate price for something that does not benefit you immediately, but benefits another group of people. Are you willing to sacrifice the American dream to leave a godly legacy? I'd encourage you to think again about something that each day of our lives impacts a lot of other people that we may never, ever see or ever touch. But what is your focus today? Where are you headed? Where are you going? Point number three. Am I willing to sacrifice my own agenda to honor His agenda in my life? We came back to Acts 15, 22. Why? Those first passages I read to you, every time the order of the words was this. It was Barnabas and Paul. In this case, as in most cases in the Bible, the order of words is significant. Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And then there's the rest of Scripture. What happened? The order had to change because who was the mouthpiece of the ministry? Paul. Who was willing to take a back seat for the kingdom of God? Barnabas. Barnabas was not looking to be the front man. He was there to encourage. He was there to build up. He was there when Paul was having a bad day. Does anybody ever have a bad day? Okay. When Paul was having a bad day and was ready to cash it in, Barnabas was saying, No, Paul. This is our purpose. This is our calling. We will make the necessary sacrifices to see the kingdom go forward. Paul, let's get up. Let's keep at it, man. What do we got to do? You've got what it takes. God didn't pay the price for your convenience. He paid the price for your calling and your opportunity to serve Him. So was he willing to sacrifice? I believe it totally. Barnabas was willing to do what was necessary to see the kingdom go forward. What was very, you know, one of the things that interesting to me about Barnabas? By this time in history, there's been billions of people read his name. Not one time do I believe he ever thought, maybe one day I'll make it in the book and somebody will get to read my name. Now, I don't believe that. I believe about that, about Paul and all those guys. I do. I believe that. My point being is this. Barnabas was willing and made himself available, listen carefully, to be a footnote in history and not be the one that got the honor and the glory. That requires an agenda that says it's not about me. I'm willing to sacrifice it. I'm willing to lay it down. Possibly the sacrifices God has been inviting you to make could realize a more divine purpose in your life today. Some of you probably have still struggled with, why and what is God up to in my life? What is God really calling me to do? What is God really stirring in my heart? Then ask yourself, have you submitted your agenda to God, or are you allowing God to submit His to you in your heart? Those things He's stirring in your heart, those passions, those desires, if they're of God, they shouldn't have gone away. They shouldn't have, because they're of God. He wants you to be a good steward of them. One of the greatest sacrifices God asks us to make on our own is this. Are we willing to lay down our reputation to honor His reputation? Are we willing to lay down what others think of us and willing to see what God, what they think of God, regardless of what it cost us? Yes, our world already loves to persecute us. Our world loves to see us go away. Our world would love it if Christianity was gone from the face of the earth today. So God is asking us today, God, one of the things God is asking us today, are we willing to see His name honored and brought glory and honor through letting Him give us His agenda instead of us giving Him our agenda? And number four, am I willing to sacrifice expedience and convenience to allow God to fulfill His plan for my life? Am I willing to sacrifice expedience and convenience to allow God to fulfill His plan for my life? There's an interesting story in John chapter 4 that I believe does a great job, as well as Barnabas' life. It's a story of when Jesus was with the woman at the well. It's a lady He meets, and they're having this exchange. And supposedly she's had about five husbands. And God and Jesus tells her all these things that's happened in her life. And it gets her attention. He met a woman at a time of the day when He shouldn't have been talking to a woman, nor a woman at that time of the day. Meaning, a woman came to the well usually that time of day when she was had a poor reputation. And there's this exchange. And Jesus offers her the living water. And so she soon realizes, hey, you know what? I'm not talking to an ordinary man here. I'm talking to the Messiah. I'm talking to somebody who knew things about me that they wouldn't know just by ordinary circumstances. He's a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. Something's going on here. But something in the middle of this story that most of us miss is extremely significant. So pay close attention. The woman goes back to get her townspeople. She's got to tell friends and family, look, you got to come meet this guy. But while she's gone, the disciples walk up and are wondering, why are you talking to her? Whose reputation is at stake here? Whose agenda is on the line? Whose kingdom are they building? But here's the part I don't want you to miss. Jesus didn't answer their question that they asked. They asked Him about food and water and talking to a woman. And Jesus says, my food is to do exactly what my Father does. That's what brings me fulfillment. Let me put a comma there, pause. What's the fulfillment quotient in your life today? Honestly, what's the fulfillment quotient in your life today? Are you just hoping to go from mountaintop to mountaintop, get a little happiness? Because that's the American dream, by the way. Get a little happiness. The God dream is get a little fulfillment for all eternity. So Jesus answers this question with, you don't understand just yet what's really going on here. And the disciples say, Jesus, we got to go then. We got to go. And Jesus says something to them very important. He says, you have a saying, 4 months and then the harvest. 4 months and then the harvest. What a weird thing to say in the middle of an odd exchange. Because then the next verse says, the woman came back with her friends. The disciples wanted to leave. Do you know what Jesus was trying to tell them? You're so stuck on yourself and your wants and your desires, you can't even see that the harvest is walked right up to your front door and is knocking on it and wants some more. That you're too busy about going somewhere else to do something you want to do at your convenience, at your expedience, that you can't even see that I was over here working and you knuckleheads are so hard-headed that I bring the harvest right to you. That all you have to do is share the truth, and the truth is standing here. Are you willing to sacrifice expedience and convenience to allow God to fulfill His plan in your life? Because that is fresh vision. That is fulfillment. That's going somewhere with a purpose. That's getting the job done for His glory and His honor. Look, I admit in my own life, when things are going tough, and we talk about this in our life group sometimes, it's hard to hear when something's going tough, someone look at you and say, you just got to have faith. It's a process. It's in God's timing. I'll be honest with you, inside, I'm like, if I can choke this person, okay, in the name of Jesus, I tell you what, process in God's timing, I got a timing for you right now. It's hard to hear that, isn't it? Because we're a want culture. Barnabas was a giving person. Do you have a big purpose? John 15:3 says, and John's going to put up in just a second, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus gave for a purpose. He made a sacrifice for purpose. He did it with an intention to bring people closer to His Father through a relationship with Him so they could have fulfillment. You know, that sounds like something I could live for every day. Some fulfillment and seeing other people get it and understand it. And it's tough sometimes to hear those words, but when God's working right in front of you, if we're not willing to make sacrifices for His purposes, we'll miss it. It can knock on the front door and we will miss it because it's not in our timing. It's not in our process. And God is saying, whoa, you've got this all wrong. You got this all wrong. My sacrifice is so you could have a completely different outlook as well as an inside. So let me ask you some questions, John. John, you go ahead and put them all up. This morning, you're going to have an opportunity in just a few minutes to fill out your little prayer cards. But I'd ask you to consider these questions this morning. What is God asking you to sacrifice? Why don't you trust Him with helping you make the sacrifice? Is He worth making the sacrifice? You ever asked that question to yourself? Is He really worth making the sacrifice for?
I mean, really, when he asks you to sacrifice something, when he asks you to take up on his agenda, when he's saying, trust me, even though you can't see the outcome, is he worth it? Is he really worth it to you? And then, what's your big purpose? What's your big purpose? We will never make a bigger sacrifice than Jesus did. You've heard that saying, you can't outgive God, you can't out-sacrifice Jesus. You can't out-sacrifice Him. And that scripture that John's getting ready to put back up, or put up for me, John 15:3, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. I would remind you of this. The difference is between understanding and not understanding, because friends have a close relationship. They understand where servants don't. Jesus could have said, greater love has no one than this, for a servant to lay down his life for a servant. He didn't say that. He said, we're in this together. And it's going to require great sacrifices to see my purpose realized in your life. But some of us, here's the beginning point for some of us. Are you willing to lay down your life no matter what? And I don't mean in a physical sense at this point. I just mean, are you willing to get up a few extra minutes tomorrow and spend some time in His Word and prayer? Are you willing to make that difficult phone call when God's putting somebody on your heart? You're like, I don't want to talk to that person. How about making that difficult decision to forgive somebody in your life that you've been needing to forgive for years, but you're still holding it, you're still holding that unforgiveness like it's a trophy? How about all those sacrifices? How about looking at a coworker or maybe a family member or some other person in your life and still looking at them as a burden, but looking at them as a blessing, that the same God who created you created them? I know sometimes you have people in your life that, honest to goodness, if you thought Satan could have created somebody, that's the person he would have created. Okay? Don't forget, somebody might be thinking that about you. Okay? So answer those questions. Think about those questions. But here's the question I want to ask you that's not up there. This isn't a question about what you're going to do. This is a question about who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? That question is a question that's relative to us every day. We should be able to relate to that question all the time, because if you're still sitting here and you're still breathing, then you're still becoming. God's not finished with you. God's still forming you into somebody that He desires to use on along the way as you're becoming somebody. So you're not going to wait to arrive to fulfill a big purpose. You're fulfilling that purpose every day on the way to arriving in heaven, into glory. So I ask you this morning to evaluate your life by this. Who am I becoming? Not what am I doing, but who am I becoming? So look at those questions as Gary comes on up. As I begin to let you look at those questions for a moment and pray for us. You know, one of the things that astounds our brothers and sisters across the world is in countries where Jesus is not allowed to be proclaimed, which, by the way, I want you to know, if you ever wonder about, is the gospel going forward, let me tell you something. The gospel is alive and doing very well in a lot of places that is trying to snuff it out. Very, very well. I'm reading every week, literally, about Christians in North Korea. I mean, that idiot might be trying to do crazy stuff, but the gospel is still alive and well. In China, the gospel is still alive and well. In the Middle East, Muslims were coming to Jesus Christ every single day. But one of the things that is being a conduit for people's lives to see change is this: what other people are willing to give up so they can know about Jesus. So I'm going to pray for us this morning. I'd encourage you to look at those questions while I pray for us. You have your cards and your envelopes. Guys will be down front to pray with you as Gary plays along. So let's just pray, spend a few moments with God. And if you got something you want to pray about this morning, come on down and pray with one of us. We'll be here to intercede for you. And when we're finished praying this morning, if you still want to pray about something, come on down and pray with one of us. We'll still be here. Let's pray. Father, just for a moment, we just pause and just want to worship you. Declare the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the awesomeness of God. Lord, I really can't grasp it. Not even sure how much of it I've glimpsed. Lord, I know it's more than my puny little mind can comprehend, can grasp.
Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice you've made. Father, what are you stirring in our hearts? Holy Spirit, continue to stir. Father, I pray that you would help us to long for you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to long for the depth of intimacy that you have for us, that we would long for that back with you. So Lord, we just give you this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue to think about those questions. You can fill out your cards or spend some time at the altar if you need to, or come pray with somebody if you need to. This week, as you read the daily devotionals and just God stirs on your heart, I just encourage you to say, God, help me to see like you see it. Last weekend, Kathy and I, because of her work, we were suffering on Hilton Head. Great anguish, lots of torture, barely made it. But God has a sense of humor. Saturday morning, we're over there with her. Oh, thank you, Brian. Got emotional. Got over there, and I was sitting waiting for Kathy to do her thing, and I said, you know, God, I'm here. I want to have a conversation with somebody about you. I don't want to just be here suffering in this way. And about 10 minutes later, I went over to where Kathy was and outside of a meeting. Had about a 45-minute conversation with a lady. She's a believer, but her husband is struggling. And had an opportunity to encourage her and think of some, just trying to walk through it with her, practically speaking. I probably used God's in the process or just have faith. I probably did. But I tried to give her right now things. So I challenge you. Say, God, give me a conversation with somebody about you today. Okay? So let's pray, and we'll go on to the outside weather. Lord, thank you for your favor. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. And Lord, all the details of those things. And God, you're in the details. So Lord, in the middle of our own activity, we give you permission to interrupt us. Lord, I pray today you give us a great desire for the things of God. The things of God. And Lord, maybe we don't even understand or recognize all those things. But Lord, I pray supernaturally through the power of the Holy Spirit, give us recognition of those things. So Lord, we live today for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.